to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99.
Taco to go. The Score. This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
I think that group would perform significantly better than it did last year, and it's for this reason. This group will be set up to succeed in ways that last year they absolutely were not.
I do have a message here for the players. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. The bar has been set higher than it's ever been set before.
You know those voices. One of them was Ben Johnson, and the other one is who we are welcoming in studio. He normally joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline, but he is kind enough to be here today. The host of the Athletic Football Show, and I believe still a Bears fan on some level of your life, Robert Mays.
Bears. Yeah, it's a complicated relationship, but I would say yes, I definitely still am. I live and die with him more than I probably should as a 37-year-old man in my profession, but I can't really help it.
Give yourself like 10 more years, because I think you and I are similar that way. I'm a little bit older, so it'll start to step away a little bit. I'm not saying that's a good thing, like to lose your fandom, but eventually it'll just be all objective and all of that.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth about it. I think that there's part of me that wants to keep it because I think it allows me to connect with people more. Connects with fans more because you still understand what it feels like to have that like completely irrational side of you. But there's also I don't really control it. Like the moment that the Ben Johnson news came down, my reaction to it was visceral. Like there's nothing I can do logically or removing myself from the emotion of that, even if I wanted to. So this is what we're stuck with for the next however long.
I like the idea of the shared vulnerability / insanity that comes with being a part of a fan base in general. The shared vulnerability comes through with when we suffer together, at least we're not suffering alone. But then also when you celebrate, you have the kinship that's there. So in both the negative and the positive. So I think you need to hold on to that for as long as possible. I understand why sometimes you're like, let me throw this in the trash or out the window. But hold on to it. Embrace it.
Definitely trash, I think. Based on his cover photo on Twitter where the Bears are going through the trash.
Yeah, that was I can't remember which offseason that was, but it was one of those offseasons where they were rummaging around in the dumpster for quarterbacks. And I was like, this is Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. This is them, just two Bears rummaging through a garbage dump. And that's what most offseasons have felt like. Not this one, though. This one feels a little bit different. This feels like we were rummaging through recyclable items.
Ooh, okay. Those have value. Robert Mays, you can find on X. He is at Robert Mays as we broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on the Score. And I guess that's the beauty of being able to talk to you in studio today is since we last left you, so many different things have happened with this Bears team, whether it's trading for Jonah Jackson, Joe Tooney, whether it's adding to the line the way they did, the draft, just your impressions of it all. So I guess the first thing that comes to mind when you think of this offseason for you is what?
Aggressive. And not necessarily in a bad way. I think that they showed a lot of urgency, whether that comes with the chase for Ben Johnson, getting Ben Johnson, going out and getting Dennis Allen. I mean, these are like big swings of the sort that I've wanted them to take for a long time. I think that this organization at its most frustrating is full of half measures. And I think there weren't a lot of half measures this offseason in a way that you can appreciate. And you can extend that to the player acquisition part of it. Like doing what they did along the offensive line before free agency even started and then planting a flag with Drew Dahlman. I think that they really wanted you to know that it was going to be a little bit different this year in terms of them shoring up some of those issues they've had over the last couple seasons. And I appreciate that. You know, it comes with risk. When going out and getting a guy like Jonah Jackson, who's been hurt, you're paying a lot of money for him. The contract for Grady Jarrett, who's an aging player, is aggressive. But I think they've really kind of planted a flag, and it's a declaration of intent about what they want this season to be.
Okay, so you're talking about the intent, and I'm with you on all of that. There seems to be some holes, though, that we're still trying to plug on this roster. I'm curious as to, as you see this conversation, especially where it comes to running back, where we thought that the Bears might possibly either trade up or Ashton Jeanty at one point might fall to them, to you're taking the 22nd running back selected in the draft. What did you think about that process, and are you okay with what they have right now in the running back room?
I think so. I'm curious what the Roschon Johnson role looks like in this offense, because I think when you look at the difference between DeAndre Swift and maybe the sort of back they would chase, I think it's a little bit about consistency, making sure you have somebody that, all right, if it's blocked for five, he's getting five. They don't really have that guy if Roschon Johnson isn't that guy. But if they conceive of him being better in this offense than he was in the previous one, and they're just rolling with him, I support that. Also, there are still guys available. If they wanted to potentially sign a Nick Chubb, something like that, I don't really mind them bypassing the position in the draft, just because I think after a certain point, you're probably making a move that is sort of lateral. And I think it, as you get past the third, fourth round, those are probably the types of guys who are available. So I can understand them not feeling overly ambitious when it comes to addressing that spot.
And shouldn't at some point in time, like, we want gold at every position, but if Ben Johnson is what everybody thinks he is and he's being paid like a star coach, shouldn't we expect Ben Johnson to get more out of DeAndre Swift, to get more out of Roschon Johnson as well, especially with that interior that you mentioned at the beginning?
Yeah, and I also just think that if you're going to skimp on a certain position, running back is still probably the one that's worth skimping on. I think it's about building up the infrastructure around the running game as much as it is about finding the right running back. And you can't just ignore what they spent on DeAndre Swift last year. We can talk about whether that was smart, but you're still allocating a decent amount of resources to the position based on how the last offseason or two has gone.
And it felt like DeAndre Swift, like, people forget, and I was in on it, like, it felt like a good signing. I mean, for the most, I don't know how you felt about it.
I did not feel that way.
Okay.
Why was that?
I was on day one signing a guy who the Eagles decided they didn't want and had just been in that ecosystem for the entire year. That to me felt like something you didn't need to do on day one of free agency.
Saquon, though. I mean, they went for the best of the best.
I think that the fact that DeAndre Swift had been traded, multiple teams, two teams in the last two offseasons had decided they didn't need DeAndre Swift anymore. And you look at what he did in Philadelphia, it was fine. I think we have a lot of evidence, this year included, that the Eagles have the best rushing infrastructure in the entire NFL. So what he did there, even if it was okay, I think is a little bit of a false premise. And so that was the first move of free agency. It was truly the first thing that happened that day was the Bears signing DeAndre Swift. It's like, I'm not sure we needed to be this aggressive with this particular move.
Robert, I think your point stands specifically about it being a tell, because the Eagles' offensive line is phenomenal and has been phenomenal for years on years. So to see what people said was, oh, that was good production. Good isn't good enough sometimes when you're looking at what you're working with. And so that's why I was like, I don't know that I'm on board like everybody else. I think what happens here in Chicago, and you can speak to this because you're not only just a guy who knows football, but has that connection with the Bears fandom, is understanding that just because your team made a move doesn't mean you have to agree with it or subscribe to it or be like, yeah, go team.
I don't think that's how you should approach it. I think that being a little bit skeptical and understanding that every move comes with certain downsides, certain upside, and trying to see it through that lens is important. And, you know, you should have a certain amount of expectations when it comes to how your team operates. Are they doing the right things? Are they making the right bets? And for a while, I think the answer to that was no in this town way too often. I will say that this offseason, I think the answer has been yes more often than not.
Would we?
Taco to go. Taco to
and a big Q.
Taco to go.
Taco to go.
Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big Q. This deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go. Taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go. Taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go. Taco to go. Taco to go.
$2.99.
Taco to go. We discussed a question that I know is in the ecosystem of the Athletic Football Show, trying to figure out whose draft it was. You know, how do we figure out Ben Johnson's thumbprint on this? We saw it in the first round pick, there's no doubt. Just played some audio from Colston Loveland this morning on with Mully and Haw talking about his injury with Michigan. We also asked the question, though, if it really was that much different from what you've seen out of a Bears draft, because I still feel like there were some reaches, there was some zigging when other teams would zag. There were still some, I think, Ryan Poles-esque picks in this thing.
Yeah, it's hard to know where to separate the responsibility for some of that stuff. I think with Ben Johnson specifically, and the first two draft picks specifically, it's kind of easy to see the imprint. Even in the process, when we were talking about Colston Loveland on our show, it was like, that just souped up Sam LaPorta. Like that, like that's what he is. And so the fact that Ben Johnson liked him is not surprising. And the Luther Burden part of this, if you go back and you look at just the production the Lions offense had last year, and specifically the way they use Jameson Williams more than anything else, I think that Ben Johnson is a real believer in the way that run after catch plays into modern NFL offense. You know, he's talked so much this offseason about how passing efficiency is the biggest indicator of whether you're going to win or lose. If you look at the construction of that passing game in Detroit, they were not throwing the ball down the field. That's not how they were efficient. They were creating a lot of run after catch opportunities. And so now you bring in a guy in Luther Burden, that's what he does.
Isn't that also what DJ Moore does too, though?
It's interesting that I totally agree with that. And that was my first reaction when I saw that they drafted Luther Burden. It's just like, this feels like it's a little bit of an overlap. But my understanding after talking to people post that pick was, we wanted all to feel pretty interchangeable. Like, we want guys who can play a variety of roles. And if you look at just the way the offenses are structured in the NFL now, the amount of condensed formations really kind of blurs the line between who's in the slot and who's not. And so having guys that have potentially redundant skill sets when you can move everyone around, I think that it's a little bit less of a worry because when you consider it like, all right, this is an outside guy, this is an inside guy. Then in that situation, if you have two guys that do the same thing, it's more of a problem. But if guys are a little bit more blurred and versatile within the offense, I think it becomes less of a problem. And I think that's kind of how they're conceiving of it.
So the weapons, they're there now. No one's arguing that the weapons aren't in place for Ben Johnson to do what he does as a play caller. The biggest question I have is the motor of this whole thing in Caleb Williams. And what do we expect to see out of him this season that we didn't last year? I know it's a new offense he's got to pick up. It's obviously a play caller that everyone's going to be looking at. If Caleb Williams doesn't produce like he should, or like a Ben Johnson offense has in the past 3 years or so, then people are going to be looking at him, not Ben Johnson, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think because you've given him everything you can hope to give him. Now, the offensive line, we'll see how it all gels, but the personnel should be there to at least be a reliable unit. And you combine that with the pass catchers, and then to me, it's the relationship with the play caller and the offensive coordinator. You look at what happened last year, and it just never worked. There was never any sort of synergy between what Shane Waldron wanted to do and what Caleb Williams wanted to do. And I've come back to this a lot this offseason, but I sat down with Jared Goff last summer, and we're just going over a bunch of different stuff, but it's kind of a wide-ranging conversation about him and that offense and how it operated and why he made certain decisions. And we probably went through a dozen plays just sitting in an office in Detroit. I was like, why did you do this? And him explaining to me how his mind was working and how he understood the intention of every play to such a degree. I was like, how do you get there? Like, how do you know to get to the check down immediately like that? And to him, it was all going back to the dialogue with Ben all the time. Just like, I understand what we're trying to accomplish in any given situation because of what he's telling me. And I think that's, to me, a marker of really good offenses in the NFL. When the quarterback understands the intent of the play because the play caller and the staff have communicated that to them, you feel that way. That's what the good offenses do, and I think that's what Ben Johnson has consistently done.
What do you think Caleb Williams wants to do?
I honestly think Caleb Williams wants to play more like Jared Goff.
Really?
When you watch Caleb Williams last year, there are some moments where, you know, everyone's busy, right? The guys, it's hard to watch all 32 teams. But some people talking about Caleb Williams last year and attributing him hanging on to the ball and the high time to throw and things like that as him trying to be a creator in playoff schedule didn't watch the Bears play. He was just standing in the pocket. He wanted to be a guy who played from the pocket. Mm-hmm. And so giving him options, breaking case for emergency type stuff, giving him just everything at his disposal to play at that from that space, I think that's how he wants to play. So I don't think that there's this misalignment between how a Ben Johnson quarterback wants to play and how Caleb Williams wants to play. I think that's kind of been a misnomer as part of this process.
I think that's such a great point because I remember him just being almost like he wouldn't get out of the pocket.
Yes.
And then there would be coverage sacks where he would just get smothered and rolled over because he's like, damn it, I am standing in this pocket because this is what I want to be. I don't want everybody to think of me as Justin Fields.
I think that's right. And I think that giving him options and opportunities to just play a little bit faster, I think that's the most important thing. It's like, listen, you go 1-2 here and then you take off.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're construed as a scrambling quarterback at the end of all of this. We want to be a good offense. So I think just having him play quicker, not necessarily having him change the way he wants to play, that's the most important element of this.
This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Saved on dental implants today. We are talking to Robert Mays of the Athletic Football Show. And I think one of the things in your studies of the NFL that adds to this is a key that we talk about when it comes to how Ben Johnson sees Caleb Williams succeeding, and that is the EPA concept.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about that, where when Ben Johnson talks about it, what we might see on the field?
I think it's, again, run after catch opportunities are a huge part of this. Sack mitigation is a huge part of this. I think that when he's saying that stuff, what I've learned this offseason is that I don't think he's doing a lot of this by accident. I think that he's saying a lot of things that are designed to send a message. That clip you guys played before we even started here about everyone should be uncomfortable here. And after they picked Luther Burden, essentially saying, like, this is a notice to people who are in the building. Like, he's done a lot of that this offseason. And when I hear him talk about the EPA stuff, to me, that is the difference, and comparing it to turnovers, right? He's done that multiple times, where turnover differential used to be the biggest driver. Now you look at the difference in passing efficiency, that's what it actually is. I think the reason he's saying that is the Bears had an offense last year that didn't turn the ball over very often, especially throwing it, but they took an astronomical amount of sacks. The value lost on sacks in the NFL in any given year is significantly more than the value lost on interceptions. Not all interceptions are created equal. So if you're throwing 5 interceptions over the course of the year, but you're taking 55 sacks, that's not a good thing. Like, in the end, that's actually going to be worse than if you were a little bit looser with the ball over the course of a season.
And 55 would be a 13 sack improvement.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were looking at the numbers last week, Grody and I, about the sacks, and he was amazed at how few sacks that Jared Goff took, because obviously he's not a mobile quarterback, but he was getting the ball out on time. And I think that's the main thing I'm looking at, because that's why I asked that question about what Ben Johnson wants for Caleb Williams, is because I just want him to get rid of the ball. And it seems like with these weapons now in place, and you talked about the Eli Whitney interchangeable parts kind of thing, he should be able to have an idea going to the line, what exactly is going to happen, what his bailouts are. All of that should be settled. I'm just wondering how much of a learning curve there will be for that. How deep into the season will we get before he truly feels comfortable in a Ben Johnson offense?
It may be a while. You know, this isn't something that's going to happen immediately. Even guys that are really, really good offensive coordinators and good quarterbacks, it can take a little bit. My favorite example ever, because of what they did in year two, and it was historically good, is looking back at like the 2015 Falcons. Kyle Shanahan is arguably the best offensive play caller in the league. Matt Ryan is if not a Hall of Fame quarterback, then a Hall of Very Good quarterback who won an MVP award. In 2015, if you go back and you look at those numbers, they were average. They were like the 15th best offense in the league. Like, there's a learning curve with this stuff. And I think Ben Johnson has been good pretty much right away. Like, I actually remember the back half of that 2021 season, watching that offense in Detroit and being like, they're doing some interesting stuff here. This is actually pretty fun. Like, he was one of the guys I was really excited to talk to that next offseason when he was going into his first full season. I think he's good. I think he's proven to be good, but there's always going to be an adjustment period, especially for a young quarterback in a situation like this.
This is why 8-9, 7-10, these are the things I'm looking at, because I could see them getting off to a slow. First of all, the schedule is ridiculous, but I could also just see them getting off to a slow start and then picking up momentum on the back half, and people might be disappointed, but I'm like, it's probably going to take more than a year to compete in the way that we want the Bears to compete.
We'll see what happens. You know, there are times where that's true. There are other times where you just have sort of this transformative presence come in and everything changes. You know, going back to Jared Goff again, think about what Sean McVay was in year one when he went to LA. Mm-hmm. I mean, they went from the worst offense in the NFL in 2017, like historically bad, to a top five unit. Jaden Daniels last year. There are examples of this where it does click pretty fast. I think that it's just a wide range of outcomes here. If you told me that they were the 17th best offense in the league and that they finished 7-10, I'd be like, okay. I mean, I can understand that. I don't think that is a deal breaker if you're trying to build over multiple years. If you told me they were the 8th best offense in the league and they won 11 games, I would believe that. Like, I just think that there are a lot of different paths here that are on the table.
I love it, Robert Mays, because I said 10 last year, and I feel like that's still very much on the table.
They got halfway there, Layla.
If they have a losing season and things are going in the right direction where it feels like it's sustainable and it can go to the next level, then fine. Right? I mean, like Steve Rosenblum posed the question on one of the Saturday shows. If the Bears are 9-8 and don't make the playoffs, is that okay? I'm like, yeah, absolutely, that's okay.
Yeah, it's year one of a new coach.
Year one of a new coach. And have you seen what has been going on with the Bears? The Chicago Bears have had 2 11-game losing streaks in the last 3 years, man.
I don't want to. Why'd you go to the dark place?
I'm sorry. Well, it's just to make a bigger point.
It's where he goes. It's just where he visits.
I I want you to marinate on that for a second. We have to take a brief break. Robert Mays of the Athletic Football Show. You're joining us for the next
segment? Yeah, I'll be here.
Heck yes. We get another segment. And there's a lot to discuss. Major quarterback news of the NFL. We still got to figure out Aaron Rodgers.
I also want to get into the restaurant database.
We love your restaurant database work. If you haven't seen it, it is his pinned tweet on X. It is worth taking a look for yourself. All of that coming up with the great Robert Mays, Raheemy Harris, and Mark Grody on The Score.
Taco to go, taco to, and a big cue. Taco to go, taco to go. Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big cube, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco, 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 taco. This deal legit. Taco, taco, taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99. Taco to go.